Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
So we're here today with Dr. Luke Aldwick, who's a lecturer and the director of the Birmingham Drug Discovery Facility in the School of Biosciences here at the University of Birmingham. Hello, Luke.
Hi, how are you doing?
Can you tell us a bit more about what you do here at the university?
So my role essentially is a lecturer. So I teach undergraduates and postgraduate students various different aspects of biochemistry and molecular microbiology. But I spend probably the majority of my time as a researcher looking to, first of all, understand the biology of a bacteria called Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which is the causative agent of TB in humans. We take a sort of molecular genetic approach to understand certain processes involved in how this bacteria assembles its very complicated cell wall, which is a barrier to toxic insult, which might be the host immune response, or also a small molecule such as an antibiotic. There's a big global burden in terms of tuberculosis. You know, the World Health Organization in 2011 said there's estimated 8.7 million new cases of TB. 30% of those are sort of co-infected with HIV. And 1.4 million people died from TB. This includes 400,000 which are HIV positive. So there's a real need to tackle this continual threat to humanity. The problem that we have as well is that it's not just your standard TB infection, but you have these multiple drug-resistant forms of tuberculosis. And actually in January 2012, in India, was the first reported strain of so-called totally drug-resistant tuberculosis. So our area of research is looking at trying to identify new targets, new small molecules, new ways to find a chink in the armour of tuberculosis, to develop the very early stages of what would be a new class of antimicrobacterial compounds.
So you're involved in research within antibiotics and drug development, essentially?
Sure. So this kind of leads into my other role, which is, as you mentioned, the director of the Birmingham Drug Discovery Facility. This is a new facility which has only been up and running for the past 12 months or so. And it's really set up essentially to provide a platform for Birmingham researchers to conduct sort of translational research, but specifically in the area of antibiotic or anti-infective research. So I'm kind of broadening my horizons, not just staying within tuberculosis drug discovery, or should say early stage drug discovery, but also branching out into other areas of important human pathogens.
So how do you actually go about discovering an antibiotic? What's the process?
So the facility that we have here in Birmingham enables us to take two approaches, and these are the two main approaches that actually were first introduced or sort of adopted by Big Pharma. And I guess we're now sort of not reinventing the wheel, but we're employing these strategies, but from an academic-led basis. So there's two main approaches. There's this way which still provides some hope of discovering an antibiotic, which is this targeted-based approach. The way that we really want to undertake our drug discovery is by adopting high-throughput screening approaches. High-throughput screening is doing hundreds, if not thousands, of experiments in one single go. And you can essentially split it into two ways. You can have your targeted-based high-throughput screening campaign or something called a phenotypic screening campaign. The phenotypic screening campaign is now coming back into vogue. How do you describe phenotypic screening? Well, basically, you give compounds to a living system and see what happens. You wait until you find a compound that does what you want. Now, does it kill the cell? And if it does, you then find out how it kills a cell by trying to understand something called its mechanism of action. And that's essentially what we're doing here. The other approach, of course, is this more sort of targeted-based approach. But really, you need to understand before then what an ideal antibiotic actually looks like. Perhaps the most ideal antibiotic really would be something called a prodrug. And we're looking at ways to identify how prodrugs work against tuberculosis. A prodrug is a lot like a Trojan horse. It enters the cell where it might be converted into something called a reactive compound by maybe a bacterial-specific enzyme. And then that reactive moiety can then sort of covalently attach to several targets within that cell. It might not just target one particular protein or enzyme within a bacterial cell. It may actually have an effect against multiple targets. And this is called a pleiotrophic effect. And if you can introduce a compound to a bacteria which targets many different areas of the biochemistry, then you're onto a winner.
So what's the difference between academic and commercial drug-led discovery?
It all depends upon approach. So the golden era of antibiotic drug discovery really was between sort of the 1940s and the 1960s. And this is when huge numbers of new antibiotics were entering in the market. And they were, you know, they were discovered by your classics of big pharma companies. But recently, the number of newly approved antibiotics reach in the market has severely declined for a number of reasons, mainly because a lot of the good antibiotics were discovered very early on. And there's just been a big sort of gap in terms of the approach to drug discovery, mainly because we thought we got a little bit smarter than we actually did. Classically, the success of this sort of golden era, they undertook a campaign of screening lots of different compounds against bacterial cells in culture. So they cultured bacteria, which causes disease, and they plated them out on media. This growth media could be solid growth media, it could be liquid growth media, in combination with a variety of different compounds. And they essentially looked to see which ones kill or inhibit the growth of those bacteria. And this worked really well for the discovery of these classic antibiotics such as streptomycin. However, when we got to the 1980s and 1990s, and with the advent of molecular biology approaches, we thought that we knew the mechanisms by which bacteria grow better than they did themselves. Obviously not that bacteria know how to grow, of course. But what happened is drug discovery sort of followed a targeted-based approach, and that's really sort of failed to deliver new antibiotics, and the hope of taking a targeted-based approach really has not worked out well.
So I understand there's a decline in the discovery of new antibiotics. What is this, and is it something the public should be worrying about?
It really is something that is a concern. So for the last sort of several decades, infectious disease physicians have been warning about this ever-increasing prevalence of pathogens that are resistant to existing antibiotics. This includes some really sort of scary organisms such as multi-resistant enterococci and MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, of course. So despite this rapidly evolving threat, there's been this relatively little research on new antibiotics within big pharma, as I previously alluded to. Really, this has become a big concern, because if you need to think about the uses of antibiotics, you don't just get prescribed antibiotics if you sort of go to the doctor and you've got a severe throat infection. You know, antibiotics have been used in surgery, which obviously involves cutting open patients, and that poses a massive risk to infection itself. So course of antibiotics, so before and after surgery, have enabled doctors to perform operations that would have been otherwise deadly. So cancer treatments such as chemotherapy and radiotherapy can damage the immune system. So a course of antibiotics is prescribed to provide a much-needed boost alongside your body's own defences. So, you know, what we're going to face is that anyone who may be sort of posed with an organ transplant faces a lifetime of drugs to suppress the immune system. Otherwise, it attacks the transplant. So antibiotics are used then to protect the body. Now, of course, if you're infected with a hospital-acquired pathogen, then you're no longer going to be able to just walk into a hospital, have your operation, go through your period of recovery and come out to the end. The major sort of barrier is going to be overcoming this prevention of acquiring a resistant strain during that process.
So what's next on the horizon for the development and discovery of antibiotics?
We're not going to give up on trying to discover new small molecule inhibitors, but there are other approaches. One might be to use nature's own weaponry, if you like, making use of bacterial viruses called bacteriophages or phages, which are viruses that infect and destroy certain bacteria. You could use a cocktail of customized phages that might kill off specific disease-causing bacteria, such as Mycobacterium tuberculosis or Staphylococcus aureus. But the problem at the moment is trying to deliver sufficient levels to the area of infection. The other approach might be using monoclonal antibodies. Monoclonal antibodies can also be designed and produced as therapeutic agents, such as antibiotics. And these could be developed to supplement the patient's own immune system, thereby providing a means to rapidly neutralize a specific pathogen of interest. And this is making use of something known as passive immunity.
Dr. Luke Aldwick, thank you very much.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. On the website, you can find out how to email us with comments, questions, or suggestions for future topics for the podcast. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists.